New York municipal unions who support and run much of the childcare programs in the city, who are rallying at City Hall today to protest the Bloomberg administration's proposed threats to cut more childcare programs and jobs. The Bloomberg administration introduced Early Learn in October 2012, a new childcare plan, the first move which was to eliminate 10,000 places for children through a zip code location elimination method. Brooklyn City Councilwoman Letitia James has seen the effects of that program in her district.
This administration has cut more childcare slots than any other administration in the city of New York. 10,000 children we cannot account for. Early Learnouts was predicted by 1707 and others, has been a complete disaster. And the administration recognizes that there have been some problems, but unfortunately, they refuse to step away from Early Learn. I live in a district which is quickly gentrifying, and there are pockets of poverty in my district. But yet they continue to ignore those pockets of poverty in my district, and countless number of children who are living below the poverty line unfortunately do not have child care. And the question is, where are those children? And so those children right now unfortunately are in unregulated care. And what they really need to be is in child care right now.
The Administration of Children's Services provides subsidized child care through a publicly funded program that receives federal and state monies. During the Bloomberg administration from 2006 to 2011, 17,700 daycare slots have been cut and jobs lost. City Controller John Liu is a mayoral candidate who said the Early Learn program is yet another example of Bloomberg's shell game.
That is meant not to improve the service and the quality for our kids, but really just to take dollars off of the budget. Dollars that are clearly needed not only by these kids, but by their working parents and working men and women in this city. We've got to put a stop to this. We've got to demand the funding to ensure that these young children are taken care of. And for generations, it's always been center-based, unionized workers who have given the care, the dedication that these kids need.
Last year, the City Council was able to restore 60 childcare centres around the city, but it was a Herculean challenge, according to City Councilwoman Gail Brewer from the west side of Manhattan.
The cut goes to the working families. The cut is not to families on public assistance. That's mandated by the federal law. So what are you saying? Are you saying, administration, that you're cutting working families who then might have to go back to public assistance in order to get child care? So I have at least five ways in which I think this is a really inappropriate, unfair, and wrong-headed cut to child care and Head Start.
Brewer said some of the groups that won contracts for Early Learn have already pulled out, and one has closed already. But she said what disturbs her most is that each year we're debating childcare or Head Start. For WBAI's Evening News, I'm Rebecca Miles reporting.
Peace activists with New Jersey Peace Action are inviting WBAI listeners to attend their annual dinner this Sunday, which will feature a talk by journalist and author Jeremy Scahill. Scahill's latest book, Dirty Wars, was released today. Sunday will be one of the first opportunities to hear from him firsthand. The program is being organized by Madeline Hoffman, director of New Jersey Peace Action, who discussed Sunday's event with WBAI's Jose Santiago.
We are extremely fortunate and excited to have him come to speak just 5 days after the book is released. We're right at the beginning of the wave of Jeremy's speaking tour, book tour, and the annual dinner takes place in Palms and Plains at the Regency House on Route 23, 140 Route 23, from 12 to 4. And the buzz about it is beginning to grow because Jeremy has launched his book tour now, and what he has to say is so timely and so hard-hitting that we can't wait to hear him speak.
And what do we know about the subject of his book? What are some of the issues that he's raising in his new book?
The full title of the book is Dirty Wars, The World is a Battlefield. And it basically is discussing the expansion of wars. There are already several visible wars that the United States has been involved in since 2001, September 11, 2001. There's the Afghanistan war that continues. There's the Iraq war that still continues. So those are the kind of overt wars that we all know. But then there's the wars underneath those wars that we may not see. And in the case of the drone wars, that was something that was begun under George W. Bush, but then expanded under President Obama. And while it was originally sort of a secret war or undercover war that nobody, without any authorization being given for that war to expand, it's pretty hard for that now to be classified as a covert war because people are beginning to hear about it, know about it, and respond to it. And in the last month or two, really, there has been a lot of, you know, there's been discussion on the floors of the Senate through Rand Paul's filibuster, but there's also been a whole month of action, really, against drones and to raise awareness on drones. And Jeremy's appearance at our dinner on Sunday, April 28th, is the last day of that month of awareness on drones. So he will be talking about the increased use of drones, other secret operations, and also the whole issue of torture, the American use of torture during the last 12 years.
For people who might want to attend, what's the best way they could find some information on how to go about attending some of this program?
There's two ways. They can call our office at 973-259-1126, 973-259-1126, or they can go online to our website, which is www.njpeaceaction, all one word, NJ like in New Jersey, njpeaceaction.org. And at the pretty much at the very top of that page, there'll be a story about the upcoming annual dinner. And if people scroll down a little bit, they'll find the reservation page right there online where they can make their reservations. And I think it's really important for people to hear the information presented in a objective, strong, clear way so that we can understand what the consequences of our wars, both the ones that we all can see and the ones that we can't see.
Madeline Hoffman is director of New Jersey Peace Action. She spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago. And that's some of the news for Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. The news was produced in New York with Jose Santiago, Rebecca Miles, and Linda Perry. I'm Andrea Sears in New York for the WBAI, listener-supported news.
And this is WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 MHz FM or streaming at WBAI.org. And my name is Robert Knight, and inviting you to stay tuned for Earthwatch. Time now is 12:05. And stay tuned for a very special announcement and many interludes and on-air phone calls at 212-650-5782, and here we go. Hey.
Freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for
justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. Heavy is a beating sound. Well, the hammer for justice that pounds. When the world, stop it. Babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. The innocent ones still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die.
Greetings. Welcome back once more to Earthwatch on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and stream.wbai.org on the web. And by the way, those of you interested in the issue of drones might also be interested to consider the latest edition of 5 O'Clock Shadow, available now for your podcast and downstream at radioforall.net. That's radio numeral for all.net. And yeah, I'm Robert Knight, and this is Earthwatch, a freeform extravaganza, an excursion into trans-terrestrial radio. And I promised a very special announcement, and I am much a Twitter in the pre-digital sense, because of a great honor that has been endowed or bestowed upon me. This coming Saturday at 10 a.m., to walk on the same stage once inhabited by Abraham Lincoln at the Cooper Union here in New York City, where I shall be the moderator of a New York City mayoral forum on the issue of urban space and community gardens. And we shall have somewhere between 9 and 12 mayoral candidates, including Ms. Quinn and Messrs. De Blasio, Liu, and Credico, and Albanese, and so many others. So that's this Saturday at 10 o'clock at the historic Cooper Union. The event convened by the New York City Community Garden Coalition, which is the, I guess, the fulcrum of the idea of livable and ecological urban space. There, you know, when you think of urban gardens, you think of the Lower East Side and places in Brooklyn and the other boroughs and so on. But few people, including me, knew there were more than 15,000 active community gardeners in New York City. And New York benefits from that work. One of the great prides of the city is the Central Park in Manhattan, which itself was designed as a sacred space to maintain the connection amidst the concrete with the community of Earth. And community garden policy, much like a forest of trees trying to slowly choke each other by their roots, is far more important an issue than it seems on the surface. Because community gardens impinge on the issue of free space, open space, park space in this city. And anyone who has covered or taken part in the Occupy movement knows how precious the concept of community open space might be. So it's going to be a great event. It is a conference that goes from, I guess, about 9 o'clock in the morning till, I don't know, sunset at Cooper Union. For anyone who doesn't know, that's at 77th Street. Just, you know, take the train to 8th Street or St. Mark's or whatever on the east side of Manhattan. And they're urging you to register, although registration is free. And let me announce the website for the New York City Community Garden Coalition. It's NYCCGC. NYCCGC. sounds juicy. NYCCGC.org. And aside from the respect and recognition to WBAI that this represents, not to mention myself and the concept of community that we all mutually embrace, there will be far better people there than I, or even the mayoral candidates, including the vibrant activist Karen Washington, who will be the keynote speaker. And take this. Me and the mayoral forum were the warm-up act for the inimitable legendary Pete Seeger, who there in his 95th year will be there as he's always been throughout our life and hopes. So Pete Seeger, Karen Washington, all of the New York City mayoral candidates, and this guy gets to moderate them, as it were, as if I could. So all of that at the Cooper Union, 7th Street and 3rd Avenue, or the Bowery if you prefer, this Saturday, starting at about 9 o'clock in the morning. But the mayoral forum is at about 10 o'clock. But it's an all-day extravaganza. And thank you for being a community that makes such things possible for such a station as WBAI. I'm Robert Knight, and this is Earthwatch. And later on, whenever, we'll take your phone calls at 212-650-5782, 212-6-BIDI-5782. And we pause for a moment to celebrate one of our dearly great departed, someone who I had the honor, actually, in the 1980s to interview, a highly religious man with clear eyes. And a soul as tender as the power of the growl of his voice, the late and great Richie Havens. This is Earthwatch on WBAI.
I can buy the light, and it don't matter, even though I try to keep my health. It all seems the same, such a silly game played by silly fools who don't even follow their own rules. But oh, when the sunshine follows me around, lifts my feet and takes me from the ground, high enough to see the shelf, and to know that I was educated by myself. Grow lean, not fatter, though amongst us all we kept our wealth. And although the rain goes pitter-patter, it don't change the pain that we all felt. Sunshine found, kicks our feet and lifts us from the ground, high enough for us to tell that we were educated by ourselves.
educated by ourselves. Oh, oh. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Such a sweet man. Richie Havens, this is Earthwatch. I'm Margaret Knight. You tune to WBAI. Somebody who could write a lyric about simple dreams and common patterns, and here on Earth a long way to Saturn. You know I love that man. Phone number here is area code 212-650-5782. 650-5782. It don't spell nothing, so you got to remember it. And we're willing to pause for your punctuation at this point in time, if you are so willing. 212-650-5782. And once again, we shall, and I hope y'all shall, be at the Cooper Union this Saturday morning for your anchor's hosting of the New York City Mayoral Forum. And a keynote speech by Karen Washington and musical entertainment by Pete Seeger, the Honorable Pete Seeger, whose banjo, which in my early days at WBAI at the Shoreham Anti-Nuclear Rally, one of the few major successful ones across the country, that helped get that thing shut down. It's where I first saw Pete Seeger's banjo, inscribed upon which were the words, "This machine kills fascists." He's 94. He's in his 95th year. Come on out. See him. Have a good time. 212-650-5782. And we've been looking at civil liberties versus criminal behavior that's characterized as terrorism this week, and very much concerned that one of the things most blown away by recent events shall be our our rights to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and the protections against the encroachment of the state, and the horror of democracy, which is another word for mob rule. Never liked it. Never liked democracy. I believe in meritocracy. I believe in consensus. I believe in communitarian methods. But look at what you get. You get the same guy in only two flavors and two colors, red or blue. Obama, twice as many troops. He tripled the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. He said that he doesn't believe that the Miranda protections of an arrested witness in one of the most excruciating times of police custody before seeing a judge needs to be applied in all cases. And, hey, the... That's democracy, folks. Y'all voted for him. So did I, first time. But I got smart the second time. 212-650-5782. This is Earthwatch. And where are the thoughtful people? Well, maybe because, I don't know, for some reason the program started 5 minutes late. Maybe they thought it wasn't going to be on tonight. But once again, please visit the website of the New York City Coalition for Community Gardens, NYCCGC, www.newyorkbroadcasting.org and come with your own questions about the environmental impact of public policy in New York City. And I think this is about more than gardens. I think it's about the idea of public space, its accessibility, and its ability to renew the spirit. So that's Saturday at the Cooper Union. This is Earthwatch. We'll be back after this. This is Peter Gabriel, but it features Richie Havens.
sweet waters. You chop down my green trees, and the food you feed my children is the cause of that ill disease. My world is slowly falling down, and the air is not fit to breathe. And those of us who care enough, we have to do something.
Still working out some of the issues here at our new studios, but I'll play that later on in the show, because it's a show about, it's a song about what we all believe in, including this Saturday's event about open space and green gardens and such here in New York City at the Cooper Union. But this is what Richie Havens made me think of, and we'll be back to him. This is Earth Watch.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love in here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs.
Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see.
Sweet waters, you chop down my green trees, and the food you feed my children is the cause of that ill disease. My world is slowly falling down, and the air is not fit to breathe. And those of us who care enough, we have to do something. I feel like a stranger in a land where I was born, and I live.
taught them to do it against the most of your laws. We're all fugitives from injustice, but we're going to be free. 'Cause your rules and regulations don't do the thing for me. Oh, what you gonna do about me? Oh, what you gonna do about me? Though you may be the stronger now, my time will soon come around. And I live just like an outlaw. Always on the run, they got me. Always on the run, they got me. Always on the run. 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 They got me.
Wow, 42 years ago. 42 years ago, live, Ritchie Havens. What About Me? Originally, I think, composed and recorded by QMS Quicksilver, if I'm not mistaken, Messenger Service. This is Earthwatch. And just for the musicologists out there, does anyone see the bearded brother to bearded brother affinity between the orchestral background of Ritchie Havens singing What About Me and Marvin Gaye? Huh? Singing What's Going On? Or How About Mercy Me, Ecology? Speaking of which, Cooper Union, Saturday 10. Gardens Coalition. Me with the mayor candidates. Can you believe that? We've got calls. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. Phone number 212-650-650-5782. And hello, greetings. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I feel good.
It's been so long since we got...
Everybody says that.
Yes, well, I'm just wanting to... I won't be able to attend the forum this Saturday at Cooper Union, but I would love to give a message to... you've mentioned about hope, wanting some hope there. And, of course, Mr. Liu is in that race. I think he offers some hope. But I also wanted to give hope to your listeners who might not be able to attend, and perhaps you need some hope. We all need some hope. And that would be that this is wonderful that we have Mr. Liu coming out, for instance, to as a candidate. But not only he should be coming out. This is 2000.
Now, we've got already 9 confirmed candidates, and
wonderful.
The number is growing.
Wonderful. And in 2013, that's only one race, though. We're talking about just one race.
We are all one race.
Oh, you're so cute to get that into. No, I'm talking about the mayoral race here. The mayor.
No. That's quite a different species.
One political race there. That we're talking about one office, shall we say. Forget about the word race. We shouldn't reduce
I'm playing what you call it because I love you.
Thank you. We shouldn't actually, I never like to use the word race because it shouldn't be reduced to this competition of a race. The best horse wins. No. We are the human race, and it's about time the human race starts participating in all the other offices that are up for election in this 2013 year, local year of election. You have all the city council seats. You have all of the council seats. Besides the mayor, you need a city council. And any party, no matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican, conservative, a working families, or an independence party person out there, and I'm going to save the Green till last, but just those five recognized parties, anybody can run a primary. Anybody can run a primary and bring hope to this local season of elections, and you just start gathering signatures in June. Signature requirements are given by the New York State Board of Elections, and you can get them by, they haven't been published yet for 2013, but they're on their way. But you get gather signatures no matter what party you are, and you can go up against the established candidate. Now, with the Green Party, they just became a recognized party in 2010, and there's hardly any signatures required because they have hardly any enrollees, and it's all based on percentages, how many signatures you need. And by the way, it's a party about consensus, about participatory democracy, where all regular citizens become part of the decision-making process. I would think that someone who is interested in community might join this Green Party because...
Well, you know, I love community. I just hate democracy.
Yes, yes. So this is about community development, a party. If you go to gp.org, you can look at the 10 key values and
well,
see if you identify
you.
With them. But aside from that, aside from that, that is a party that does not cross-endorse Democrats or Republicans. Of that, a person who runs on that line and gets that line will make a three-way race when there is usually only the lesser of two evils.
Or the evil of two lessers.
Or the evil of two lessers.
I appreciate that. It's sort of like the way a transistor works, where a small current can change the flow of a larger current. I don't want to, speaking of Caesar's wife, I don't want to go too much further into this in order to maintain my demeanor for Saturday. But I thank you for your thoughtfulness and insight.
And I wish you would pass that on because...
Well, you just did. Everybody
yes,
heard
but
you.
I mean, if you could pass it on because I...
Well, oh, no. I'm the moderator.
Oh, you can't...
Graphite rod. So thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you so much, dear.
All right.
Okay.
And, sweet woman, sweet caller. This Saturday, Pete Seeger at the New York City Community Garden Coalition at Cooper Union. Wow. I'll be the moderator of a mayoral forum at an all-day conference from 9 to 4 called Stand for Our Land at the Great Hall of Cooper Union, 77th Street, Manhattan, Lower East Side. Lower East Side, yeah, Lower East Side. Not the East Village, it's the Lower East Side. Questions regarding community gardens and parks and livability of New York City. And let's see, a keynote speech will be given by someone of great juice and power and respect in the community, Karen Washington. And Pete Seeger will be following the mayoral forum, which starts at about 10-ish Saturday morning. Other performers include Sylvain Leroux, the flautist, and Morley, the lyrically conscious and musically gifted singer from Queens, and many other things, so... please join us. In fact, take a visit to the website, nyccgc.org, and register yourself, because there'll probably be an overflow crowd, you know what I'm saying? This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight. Phone number here is 212-650-5782. And here now with a little bit more elaboration of what I meant when you heard the orchestral backing of the 1971 song by Richie Havens, What About Me? Here's what I meant when I thought about Marvin. Listen to the violins. You'll hear many of the same strokes.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are nice. Mercy, mercy, all things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Little darling, I see that the smile's to return it to the faces. Little darling, it's been so many years since they've been there. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York, Robert Knight here. That's Richie Havens, of course. We're celebrating the life of Mr. Pierce, Mr. Richie Pierce Havens. And I had the honor and joy of meeting him and found him to be a totally focused man of great faith and wisdom and wit. And I hope that I might soon be able to find that precious interview that we did together. Meanwhile, the phone number here for intercourse is 212-650-5782, verbal that is, and you are on the air. Whoops. Okay, how about you? What about you? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, Robert Knight. This is Robert from New Jersey. Good night to you.
Welcome.
As usual, Wednesday night is my listening night for you. At the same time, I just at a program biography of Wendell Scott, NASCAR champion, first black NASCAR champion, which featured the late, great Cleavon Little.
Mm. Is that the movie that Richard Pryor was involved in?
The late, great Richard Pryor.
Yes, sir.
Sam Greer.
Okay. Okay. Double-barreled perfection.
Late, great Cleavon Little,
mm-hmm.
And of course, the theme song sung by Richie Havens.
Yeah.
Coincidence or synchronicity?
Ah, well, I got a lot more for you. Thank you. That is a precious memory. That is the wit, my listeners,
well,
upon which I depend.
As he sang, Here Comes the Sun, Wendell Scott. But of course, the finish line.
Well, I heard that he was called something else, and it involved more than the word son. if you catch my drift, that's a recent term. That's when you go into a slide, you know. But they call him a son bitch.
Son. Have a good night.
Thank you. Brilliant call. This is Earthwatch, and you are on the air. Whoa, not so. Well, hey, has anybody noticed that I didn't go for the obvious? And I, you know, with all of my love and our mutual respect for Richie Havens, that I did not do anything obvious, like play what for many people is his most famous, that from Woodstock. We'll be back with more phone calls after this.
Hydrogen bomb. I can almost hear it return. Guitar of Mike, please. Guitar Mike.
More rot. Thank you. 6 feet 4. He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friends, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan. And he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy and fighting for the Reds. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die. And he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, condemned him at Dachau. Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon to a war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. But his orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
As long as the sun shall glow, as long as the wind shall blow, as long as the stream shall flow, as long as the grass shall grow, this land shall be Indian. Indian. As long as the fish shall ring, as long as the bird shall sing, as long as the deer shall spring, as long as their life shall bring, this land shall be India. Shall crawl, as long as this earth's a ball, this land shall be Dindani.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. Robert Knight, and we're celebrating. You know, Richie Havens was the architect of Woodstock. Yeah, if I remember correctly, he opened up the musical performance, and we also heard Buffy St. Marie, Universal Soldier, and before that some Marvin Gaye, kind of exploring the similarities, the mutual roots of so much of the music that we love. And I hope that, well, tonight we're running out of time, but perhaps next week we can talk with some musicologists about the importance of percussion in the performance of Richie Havens. He would often perform with several guitarists, and I'm not sure because I'm not really well educated musically, but he played that like a percussion instrument, did he not? And it's just amazing how brilliant that great man who has graduated. And the reason I mixed in various artists is because he was part of a genesis, a mixture of inspiration with fellow artists. And, couldn't have been a better life. Thank you for listening. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. Email me at rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org. And come join me and all the mayoral candidates this Saturday at Cooper Union at a mayoral forum presented by the New York City Coalition for Community Gardens. Thank you for listening to Earthwatch. Stay tuned for Jim Freund with Hour of the Wolf.
So I'm told. The undertaker, please drive slow, for this body you are hauling, yes, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There is a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Will I follow close behind her? Thought I would hold up and be brave, and I could not hide my sorrow when they laid her in the grave. In the circle by and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One by one, the seats were emptied. By one, they went away. Now my family, they are parted. Will we see each other someday? In a circle, be unbroken. By and by, Lord,
by and by, there is a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky, in the sky, Lord, in the sky, in the sky.
And good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. With us this morning, Ellen Datlow, who hasn't been at WBAI in a while, and then it was 8 miles away from here. Well, downtown or uptown, it's good to have her here. Stay tuned. Alrighty, so let's see. A new segment on Hour of the Wolf. There will come a time whether Hour of the Wolf gets back to, its old time slot, or gets increased time in its current slot, or goes to additional programming via pod only, maybe off the WBAI website, maybe off of ourwolf.org, which was built for me but never used by Chris Dykeman and Matt Kressel, or what. But there is this idea in my head, and has been for a while, that there will be an Hour of the Wolf 2.0. And what this means are different people doing segments, turning Hour of the Wolf into a magazine. Now, that doesn't mean I'm giving up nothing. If anything, I will take even half an hour more. Maybe I'll do half an hour of music, then 90 minutes of interviews with editors, writers, and stuff like that. But astute listeners will have noticed that for about a year and a half, Genevieve Valentine has come here and been doing reviews of indie films. I'm not on the invitation lists for the big, you know, for Oblivion or Iron Man 8 or any of these things. But for some reason, I am very grateful to be on the invite list for indie films. And I've been sending these to Genevieve Valentine, who does this wonderful movie blog on her website at GenevieveValentine.com. And she's done, about five or six reviews for us, and they've been wonderful. Right now, she's on hiatus by her own choice. Hopefully, she will come back. But we will have other segments that we will have. It's basically all things geek. We're going to do tech stuff, like, you know, the latest phone. You want to talk about the latest phone? Only one person in the world who's going to, and that's Tempest Bradford, because she's going to do reviews, not like, we took a look at this and decided. She'll say things like, this phone sucks. You know, she's just like between the eyes, whatever. So she's going to be our tech person. And then Alaya Dawn Johnson is going to do things on young adult fiction and stuff like that. So that's Hour of the Wolf 2.0. Don't ask me when. But this is formulating in my head, and at some point I will make it a reality. But we have a new segment, and that is that, yes, there is a person capable of reviewing Iron Man 8 and all these big films, and that's Dan Persons. Dan Persons was, I think he was the editor, or at least an editor, at Ciné Fantastique magazine, which was one of my favorite magazines that covered genre film, because it really got into what is genre film. It really wasn't just, gosh, wow, boy, oh boy, and it understood cinema. And Dan has been doing reviews on his own podcast for a while, and I told him that he can take, what to call it, the big boy beat, as it were, as opposed to the indie film beat, the what they call the tentpole movies, movies that studios keep their tents upright with. And, of course, we have had one such film this past week. And so this is Dan's very first review for us. And, well, here it is.
Round towards the end of Oblivion, the new science fiction action film starring Tom Cruise, the references to 2001 A Space Odyssey become blatant. It's there in the layout of a space shuttle cabin, in the way one part of the ship rotates while another remains stationary, and in the confrontation between a human and a large elemental form, although in this case it's a pyramid, as was originally planned for 2001. This doesn't bother me. I don't particularly believe that Joseph Kosinski, who's directing this adaptation of his own unpublished graphic novel, is trying to compare himself to 2001 director Stanley Kubrick or his movie to what is arguably the greatest science fiction film ever made. I'm taking it as homage, and in which case, why not homage the best? But it does cause a problem. Stanley Kubrick was a great visual stylist, as is Kosinski, as is evidenced by Oblivion's fantastic, beautifully realized world. But Kubrick was more than look, ideas attached to the stories he was telling, frequently challenging ideas. Oblivion makes feints in that direction, but it's clear it's just artifice, a way to wrap Kosinski's impressive visuals and well-staged action in a thin veneer of profundity. The story is that Earth has won a war against alien invaders, but only at the cost of irreparably poisoning the planet. The survivors have moved to a moon orbiting Jupiter, another 2001 reference, and Tom Cruise and Andrea Riseborough play Jack and Victoria, caretakers left on Earth to tend after the armed drones that patrol the planet and take out any alien scavengers. If it was as simple as that, we'd have an interesting character piece, and that'd be fine by me, but that wouldn't suit a big-budget Tom Cruise starring studio release. And so, there are a series of revelations that range from seen it before to oh come on. A spaceship crash lands, and its sole survivor, played by Olga Kurylenko, looks a lot like someone conjured from the dim reaches of Jack's memory, and it is eventually revealed that those alien scavengers might not be the enemies they seem. How much not the enemies they seem? I'll give you two hints. One, Morgan. To Freeman. Oblivion is pretty much an agglomeration of post-apocalyptic science fiction tropes. We've seen them before. What few surprises there are tend to be more silly than stunning. Still, this is state-of-the-art studio storytelling, really good looking, and yes, fun if you don't ask too much of it. You get your money's worth, just don't expect it to resonate after you've left the theater. I'm Dan Persons. Come listen in as I talk with the makers and stars of classic genre film and TV on the CFQ Interview Podcast, available every week at cfqonline.com.
Okay, and again, that was spelled CFQ, like Ciné Fantastique. I assume that's where he got that from, but I thought that was a good inaugural review. He did another one for me like 2 weeks ago. And Evil Dead, the remake of Evil Dead. And I'm probably wrong about this, but I said no. And this is really going to get me into trouble considering this morning's guest. Because Hour of the Wolf will cover horror, but I am not a horror fan.
Shoo-boo hiss.
Exactly. And Ellen Datlow is probably, arguably,